When we say a patriot is one who loves his country, what kind of love do we mean? A love we can throw on a scale and see how much it weighs. A love we can take apart to see how it ticks. A love where with a yardstick we record how long, how high, how wide it is. Or is a patriot's love of country a thing invisible, a quality, a human shade and breath, beyond all reckoning and measurements? These are questions. They are old as the time of man. And the answers to them we know in part only. For we know when a nation goes down and never comes back, when a society or a civilization perishes, one condition may always be found. They forgot where they came from. They lost sight of what brought them along. The hard beginnings were forgotten, and the struggles farther along. They became satisfied with themselves. Unity and common understanding there had been, enough to overcome a rot and a dissolution, enough to break through their obstacles. But the mockers came, and the deniers were heard, and vision and hope faded, and the custom of greeting became, "What's the use?" And men whose forefathers would go anywhere, holding nothing impossible in the genius of man, joined the mockers and deniers. They forgot where they came from. They lost sight of what had brought them along. When we say a patriot is one who loves his country, what kind of love is it we mean? Those are tremendous questions. I could write a book trying to answer those questions. You have heard that the shroud has no pockets, and the dead, to whatever place they go, carry nothing with them. You have heard that, and you know its meaning is plain. Whatever cash or collateral a man may have, whatever bonds, securities, deeds, and titles to land, real estate, buildings, leases and patents, whatever of jewels, medals, decorations, keepsakes, or costly apparel, he leaves them all behind and goes out of the world naked and bare as he came. You have also heard the dead hold in their clenched hands only that which they have given away. In this, we begin to approach the meaning of a patriot. Though we do not unlock the secret that hides in the bosom of a patriot. The dead hold in their clenched hands only that which they have given away. When men forget what is at the heart of that sentiment, and it is terribly sentimental, they are in danger of power being taken over by swine or beasts of prey or men hollow with echoes and vanities. It has happened, and the records and annals cry and moan with specific instances. As I speak to you from the seclusion of my home, I can see many of your faces. They are faces I have seen in our America. Faces I have met from coast to coast, from the Great Lakes to the Gulf. They are the faces of today, of now, of this hour, and this minute. Yet it is worth considering that many of those same faces have had their shining moments in our America of the past. We can go back 50 or 100 years, 200 or 300 years, and we meet these same faces of men, women, and children. They shared in the making of America, in bringing this country on from the colonial wilderness days through one crisis after another. Their faces move through shattering events and the heartbreak of war and revolution. Their faces gaze from the canvas slits of the covered wagon, from the glass windows of railway coaches, from the shatterproof glass of motor cars on concrete highways, from the plexiglass nose of the latest make of airplane curving in the sky. They saw years of startling change and dazzling invention till America took her place among nations as one of the great world powers. In each time of storm, in each period of development, have been these faces. And I can see them out among you who are listening tonight. And among you who listen tonight, I am sure there are thousands of young couples whose faces hold the dreams and resolves of the present, looking toward the future. The same expectant and resolved faces from the hill at Plymouth gazed over that harbor 300 years ago. I can see their faces at Valley Forge in that bitter winter, and the faces of the women that those men there couldn't forget. I can see them saying goodbye before their menfolk marched away to the campaign that brought them to Gettysburg. I get personal with you tonight. About your faces and dreams, I get personal. Like myself, nearly every one of you listening has dear ones, and we remember their faces, and we dream about them. It is perfectly natural we should be troubled. Yet we must keep it in mind and press it home in our minds that something like what is happening to our dear ones now has happened before. This is one crisis, the latest one. There have been others in the making of this nation. The call to hardship, toil, and combat runs like a blood scarlet thread over and through the story of our people. It has cost to build this nation. Living men in struggle and risk, in self-denial and pain, in familiarity with sacrifice, wounds, and death. Those living men of the past paid that cost. In a very real sense, there is no such thing as a death of thought and energy. The will and the vision that motivated people in Plymouth did not fade but moved on, alive and written on faces at Valley Forge. It is still with us. Generations vanish, people disappear, the earth stays, and the transmissions of energy. Life goes on. Long before this time of ours, America saw the faces of her men and women torn and shaken in turmoil, chaos, and storm. In each major crisis, you could have seen despair written on the faces of the foremost strugglers. Yet there always arose enough of reserves of strength, balances of sanity, portions of wisdom to carry the nation through to a fresh start with an ever-renewing vitality. You may bury the bones of men and later dig them up to find they have moldered into a thin white ash that crumbles in your fingers. But their ideas won, their visions came through. Men and women who gave all they had and wished they had more to give. How can we say they are sunk and buried? They live in the sense that their dream is on the faces of living men and women today. In a rather real sense, the pioneers, old settlers, first comers, as some call themselves. They go on, their faces here now, their lessons worth our seeing. They ought not to be forgotten. The dead who hold in their clenched hands that which became the heritage of us, the living.